Book of Acts, as we hear just little bits of the story of the Holy Spirit coming to God's people. And then we turn to a little short story of Peter. Remember, I think it was last Sunday, we talked about Peter and how God promised to build his church upon the rock, upon Peter. And today Peter is preaching the good news to the Gentiles. Listen with your whole selves as I read from chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and again from chapter 10, verses 34 to 36. When the day of Pentecost had come, they all gathered in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oh, the colors, oh, the beauty, the unabashed and exuberant expression of all that we are together. The celebration is like none other, brought to its fullest embodiment as we emerge and dare new heights. Today is our last Sunday of our Emerge series. Now that may cause some of you to celebrate, but we are butterflies. We have transformed, we have spread our wings, and now we get to experience the places that God will call us to. In the emerging of the church and the book of Acts, a series of events in the life of Peter leads him to the understanding that God shows no bias and all are welcome in this journey of new life in Christ. Upon this rock, the Spirit builds a church that offers hope to the hopeless, strength to the weary, and new life to those who think that theirs is over. Upon these things, this church will continue this mission to a world that so desperately needs people who know the power of transformation. The mighty wind of Pentecost has blown across God's people in dramatic ways, and yet here we sit this morning waiting. But what are we waiting for? Peter is completely different in the book of Acts compared to when we last encountered him in this series, when Jesus named him the rock upon which I will build my church. And Peter's simple statement in this passage is truly groundbreaking to Christianity. To give you some context, he is speaking to Cornelius. You've probably heard that name before. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, and usually they were very respected by the Jewish people. Now, he isn't Jewish. In fact, he was part of the oppressive Roman authority against which the story of Jesus' life and ministry is told in the Gospels. Now, a Roman centurion was a non-commissioned officer who commanded around 100 Roman soldiers. They maintained order, and he would have been an upright and respected member of the community in Caesarea. But remember, Cornelius is not Jewish, although he is described as a God-fearing Gentile. And as a Gentile up to this point, though, he is not considered to be one of the chosen people of Israel. You might remember Jesus' remarks to the Syro-Phoenician Canaanite woman at this point where he retorts to her plea for him to heal her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. I mention that because even Jesus dealt with a worldview that preserved a very significant boundary between Israelites and Gentiles in terms of who was chosen or considered the children of God. This is why when we read about Paul's transformation on the road to Damascus, it's so remarkable and a wonderful way to illustrate the full emergence of Christianity in Scripture. God can take what is not right, what is broken, and completely transform a person into a follower of Christ. I mean, think about it. Paul was like at the other end of anything related to Jesus' ministry and his commandment to love others. He was killing people who believed in Jesus, and it took God through Jesus Christ to transform his life, and he could do that. This is the pivotal moment in the New Testament that sets in motion Christianity's full differentiation from Judaism and sets up the truly cosmological and worldwide scope of God's grace that Christianity professes even today. The ethic that Paul professes when he writes his letter on, I think that was in Galatians, where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, it originates here with what Peter said. The tension among the early Christian churches about how to handle the Gentile and the Jewish people would create a divide. And it comes from this proclamation. Peter speaks into it. This is the root of the questions that even led to the Council of Jerusalem 5 chapters later in the book of Acts. People were fighting about the Jewish and the Gentile people. There was a clear dividing line. Jewish people saw themselves as chosen, and then you have the Gentile people. What do we do with them? Nowadays, there's other sort of people groups that we talk about, right? Who has access to Jesus Christ? Who is loved by Jesus Christ? Who are the chosen people in the world around us? Peter's abundant vision that breaks down the wall of Gentile versus Jew, that he proclaims first to the Gentile centurion, to Cornelius and his people. That comment that he made to Cornelius totally transformed the church. You might say it was the first Reformation. And since then, the church has been reforming itself throughout history. The church has been in metamorphosis, you might say, many times. And when we look around, we can recognize that we are in a state of emergence and transformation even now. The Pentecost moment this service normally centers around was another moment of transformation where the barriers of language are broken down. We read in our scripture how they spoke in a variety of languages but could still understand one another. And we know that there are Peters among us who are proclaiming radical new visions within the church. Young people in our churches are casting the future just as we preach. The world is expecting more of us and making real impacts in our communities. And God cries out to us today, I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? We are emerging at this very moment, believe me. And where will our newly unfurled wings take us? Today's scripture provides an example of what it means to experience new possibilities. The coming of the Holy Spirit was, of course, a supernatural moment. You're not going to find that happening around us today in terms of the tongues and the wind. Not that God can't do that, but that was such a moment for those that were present there. But this Holy Spirit is also in the moments when, like Peter, we sit with someone and we tell them about Jesus Christ. We tell them who Jesus Christ is, and we share the good news of his life, death, and resurrection. And Jesus modeled throughout his ministry, but now Peter models the movement by the Spirit in our conversations, whether we listen or we talk. If we go back several verses, we remember that Peter was catching some rays and a nap on the rooftop in Joppa. Do you remember his vision and his reaction to a very cool idea that God was sharing with him? God's love and salvation were for everyone. That was it. Seems simple to us, but that's what Peter heard and what in the vision that Peter had. And while we may not find this news too shattering, it was to an observant Jew like Peter, radical in its very articulation. God's love and salvation are for everyone. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness. Everyone. This is a radical message for Peter and a hard one for him to learn. Hard for us to learn as well, isn't it? I mean, as I said, Peter is, above all, a very devout Jewish Christian who thoroughly avoids both profane foods and unclean people. But now a voice from heaven is saying to him, Peter, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. God is at work in some unexpected places, inviting us to step in and share the gospel. And yes, that means that God invites us to some uncomfortable spaces and unexpected places. And I don't believe that it requires us to create these new programs or gimmicks that will wow people to gain their attention. In fact, I think that God thinks that less programming would be appealing and appealing to Christ. Decrease anything that disrupts our focus on being in the presence of others, treating them as Christ treats them. That's it. That's all I think that we are called to do. That is truly all we need. And it's truly all we need to connect with another through the power of the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, but it bears worth repeating. One thing the COVID pandemic created was isolated people. Remember all that time that you spent in your home talking to people you lived with, but not talking to a lot of people that were outside your home. And granted, we had an opportunity to then connect with people through social media and technology. But authentic communication died, even though the opportunities for communication rose. We weren't left with sincere, directed communication. And I think people nowadays are really missing that connection. We are all coming out of the pandemic and looking around and wondering where our family and friends are. And we have people, maybe not among us, so to speak, but in our community who quite honestly are longing for someone to listen to them and ask to hear their story, not with the purpose of telling them that they need to change, but helping them connect with Christ's will for them and their lives as they play out. Too many people think God is very, very far away from them, when in reality, the fingerprints of God touch their very lives. And we who are disciples of Christ, if you call yourself a disciple of Christ, we have been given the power of the Spirit to speak into their lives and shine God's light into their darkened souls so that we can decrease their darkness and increase their connection to the one who created them with love and adoration. It's not about doing more and spending more to achieve what God wants, but instead God calls us, as he calls Peter, to sit with someone and assure them of God's amazing love. People today need to see that the next new thing is the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. This is a truly divine innovation, not a fascinating but fading phenomenon. If we deliver anything else to worship or Bible studies, we're simply giving people cool things that will fade away. But the connection that we can give to another person, reminding them that their story is important to us, and that they are loved and forgiven by Jesus Christ, nothing compares to that. So let's do what we can to share the gospel with a world that is hungry for salvation. Only Jesus Christ can save us. And that's what Peter discovered in the first century and what is still true today. Monty and Brandy Whitaker of Anaheim, California. You don't probably know them. I don't think anyone in here knows them. But their work involves ministry in the parks and the prisons and nursing homes. Talk about varying degree of groups of people. And that ministry they do as a family. They said rather than leaving their three children behind with a sitter in order to participate in these outreach ministries, they decided to take their three children along with them. And that way the children would not begin to think of the church as something that took their parents away from them, but it would prepare them for future ministries of their own. I love this idea of serving as a family. Opening ourselves up to this way of serving God is worthwhile, as we have, I believe, have welcomed 7 adults to our membership who have or will be having children, young children at home. I think about a young family I visited from our church. They're not new members, but just as important. And during our conversation, had mentioned that one of the adults had said to me that they miss having friends to socialize together. Their world orients themselves around their children, and I'm grateful for that, that they're pouring their time and attention into their children. But even as adults, they miss that connection of another adult to speak with, to socialize with. Such a simple need that I feel like our church should be addressing, right? And it's not a difficult need. Maybe with a few tweaks to what we are doing now, we can find a way to establish conversation and listening in our disconnected world. Now, I've tried this in some small ways, mainly around meals, because, well, quite honestly, I enjoy food. I enjoy preparing it and serving it. It isn't easy to provide a small lunch for our new members class, but the rewards have been worth it. I've learned much about our new family sitting with them as we eat our lunch, probably learning more about them than I would by just leading a class and leaving. I think they've probably learned a little bit more about me. The last time we met, we shared mutual challenges with home remodeling and such things in our life. I've also encouraged the session to incorporate a meal into their meeting because I trust that God will use our meal time as a place for each of us to connect or reconnect with one another that doesn't feel so business-like. Is it more work? Yes. But is it worthwhile to connect with those we make decisions with and lead together? Absolutely. Modeling relational ministry is at the heart of being a servant leader, and it's at the heart of being a Christian. Relating with one another. To think a moment about what are the little things that you can do to connect with people around you. Maybe it's moving from a phone call to an in-person visit. Maybe it's calling up the widower to join you for dinner with your family so they don't have to eat alone. Maybe it's inviting another dog owner to meet you at the park to walk and visit with your dogs. I don't know exactly what it might be that you choose, but I wholeheartedly believe that the work of the Holy Spirit will present be present, creating new connections between us and God's people, and even better, between God and God's people. The butterfly's life cycle, for those of you that have been to church, you've heard it, but remember, from the caterpillar to the chrysalis, turning into goo in the chrysalis and coming out as a butterfly with wings that need time to dry because they're wet. And just imagine fully opening those wings. But I'll be honest with you, that cycle is pretty short compared with how much transformation occurs. And that butterfly is just given one life. But oh, what a life it lives. In light of eternity, our lives are rather short as well. So the question to us is, what will you do with this one life? Jesus taught us to love deeply and recklessly the people we have around us. Being a witness for Christ takes as many forms as there are heartbeats on this earth. A hand held out to steady the steps of a very young or the very old. A hand held out to seal with a handshake a vow of peace between enemies. A helping hand to hammer and nail together a home for the homeless. By our actions and attitudes, we can be a witness to the presence of Christ's death-defying love, thus proclaiming so that anyone can hear love and resurrection power. And we can do it in the simple things of life, including others, inviting them to share their story, not to tell them they're wrong, but to point to the fingerprints of God in their life, reminding them, maybe being the only reminder that they hear, that they are loved, accepted, and adored by God who created them. Who wouldn't want to share that message? In the world around us, we need that message shared. To God be all glory, power, and honor now and forever. Amen.